And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show, preview a great event coming up Thursday night here in the listening area for the Brevard Seminole Club. This fine gentleman is with warchant.com, and he's going to be speaking for all the local area Florida State fans. His name is Michael Lanston. Michael, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Mark. I'm happy to be on. I can't wait for this week.
You have done this event. Will this be the third time here in Melbourne?
Yeah, it's probably a third or fourth time. It's one of my favorite places. It's a great stop. Yeah, got David that puts on the event. This year it's Rebecca Miller. It's just a great event. I look forward to it so much. It's a lot of passionate people there.
Yeah.
And it's just such a great event.
Yeah, it's going to be going on. This is very key. It'll be 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday night this week at the Space Coast Association of Realtors. It's been there the last couple of years. It's a great event. Michael, if we come out, what are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, we're going to break down a lot of stuff because there's a lot of exciting stuff going on with FSU. You're coming off the ACC championship, a 13-0 pretty much season, and then there's a lot of excitement of this roster they had this year, maybe even better than what they had a year before. So a lot of exciting times. I'll talk about some of the things going on. Certainly their baseball team has started off really hot. So I'll talk about different things of what I'm hearing within, the program of, both from a team perspective and then I'll go into the recruiting stuff, kind of have a detailed breakdown of the whole 2020 four class, and then I'll cover some transfer portal news and then also some, just how they did in the portal the last few years.
It's interesting, the Facebook event you sent me where it has all the information, and it's worded as Michael Langston, War Chant, insight on the FSU 2024 recruiting class and transfer portal players. My question for you is that the norm where you're not just going to talk recruiting classes, it's transfer portal as well?
Yeah, it's basically just a combination of both because they're tied into it each other. I mean, I know when Norvell does his breakdown, he's breaking down, the transfer guys just like he is the high school guys for that year. So now it's almost like a combination of the two where they're a part of what you do. It's not a separation where it used to be like, it felt like a separation of the two, where, high school recruit. Now it's like, it's all together and you have to make your changes and you have to make, your numbers work with not just your high school kids, but a lot of these transfers And to be honest, Mark, the transfer portal is probably a little more important because those are guys that play right away.
I was about to ask you that question. There's a part of me, I feel like, yeah, it is. I agree with you. It is the transfer portal. I mean, you look at the quarterback position for Florida State. What have they done this offseason to try to upgrade the position?
Yeah, exactly. They added DJ Ulegle. A guy from Oregon State that was very productive, played at Clemson, certainly was productive there. And then, so he's, I would say, the likely guy. Going into your start of the season and then certainly you already have a great quarterback room with, top high school prospect, Luke Cromahawk, who had a really good year as a senior at a high school. And then you already have Brock Glenn in there who got some starts, last year. So that quarterback room is probably as good as it's ever been. It's been a really good competition already. This spring, and they're all pushing each other. I went out to practice probably around last Friday, got a good look at everything, and I'm like, wow, this is a much different quarterback room than what I saw before, maybe even 2 years ago. So, they've done a lot to, improve their holes of whatever they need. There's a hole there, whether it's linebacker, defensive line, even receiver, where they added some guys. I think this is the most complete the roster's looked as far as depth and talent. Now, it might not be as elite as like a Jared Verse or a Keon Coleman in there, but there's a lot of great players across the board that are, it's a very loaded group.
We're here with Michael Langston, warchant.com. He'll be speaking here in Melbourne on Thursday night if you'd like to go. We'll post the links to how to get tickets and go. It's a great event. I've gone a couple times. Since you said you were there at practice, is there a feeling of let's put last year behind us and how it ended, where we didn't make the playoff and we need to look ahead to 2024? Or do you feel like it's still lingering over the program?
No, I think they're past that to a degree, but I don't think you ever get over that totally. I think it just adds more of a chip to their shoulder, the way they play and the way they coach and the way they look when they play each opponent. I think their mindset is the same, but I think it's even more of a higher chip to what they were. It's like, okay, y'all want to leave us out. Y'all want to screw us over. We're going to bring it even harder than what they were before. So I think it's kind of motivated them even further, but I don't think it's like a lingering thing where, you know, they care one way or the other. I just think it just drives them harder. But I think it drives the staff. I think it drives the staff and the players, and they've got a really good culture there, you know, with their brotherhood, the way they work and they practice. You know, I've talked to a lot of recruits that go to these practices, and they're like, man, their practices are intense. Like, and so it's a little bit different than maybe some other schools, the way they practice, the intensity they bring to their work, where they treat every practice like they're playing a game that week. So I think their drive is the same, Mark. I think it's even higher, and there's a lot of excitement. I could tell just the way Mike talks about this team, it feels a little bit different than what the way he talked about, you know, the last 2 years. He even said this is probably going to be his fastest team overall in speed. So, I mean, he could tell he doesn't hype it up too much with any of his team, but you could tell there's an excitement level that's a little bit different with this squad.
When you talk to recruits, and you do a great job, you know, 24/7 going over this stuff, what do you hear from these recruits when it comes of you went 13-0, but they didn't like you in the playoff, and now we don't know if they're going to be in the ACC. They're battling that. Like, what's the thought of an 18-year-old when you're talking to them?
Yeah, a lot of them feel like they like the edge of FSU because it's like they feel they got screwed. Like that's the feeling of recruits. Like, that was wrong, that they got screwed. And I even talked to one kid, Solomon Thomas, who's offensive lineman that committed to FSU, and that was part of the reason he committed to FSU, because it's like they're like the outlaws, and it felt like they screwed him over. So it's like, I want to go there to push them even farther over the top to show people that they are this good. Yeah, they are this good when they play all their players and they have their full team, these guys can beat anybody. And so I think the general perception is that they got screwed over. I think there's some that are kind of like, you know what, I don't know about this, you know, where if I went somewhere else, like in, you know, a top SEC team that I might, you know, might work out. We kind of saw that with K.J. Bolden, who flipped to Auburn. That kind of left a little pause with a few guys, but I think the majority of them have been like, we believe in where this program is going. We believe they're a top team in the country, and we believe that they got kind of screwed over with this whole situation.
We're here with Michael Langston. You bring up Coach Norvell. This has been a process, and this has taken since what? He got there in 2020. How, in your opinion, did he build this program back to national prominence like he has now?
I think the big thing with him was, like, he couldn't do what the other coaches in state could do because they had previous relationships in the state. So he had to build it on product, and he had to build it on – he told the kids, like, give me a chance to earn your trust. And he said recruits, he said that with his players now. And so a lot of what he built was on relationships. So it's built where, trust me what I'm telling you, we are going to be one of the best teams in the country. And that's what he's told everyone from the start. He's built it that way. And I think the big thing is, there are two other big things, is their work ethic and practice. I remember Hakeem Williams, who's there now, he's a sophomore. He was like, I think FSU was like third or fourth on this list. He got a chance to watch them work. He watched them work in practice. He's like, that's when things shift. So when kids see them practice and see the way they bring it, they demand, and the intensity of the different things they do with versatility, it really grabs their attention. But I think the last thing is their development, Mark, with players. It's been phenomenal. We're going to see that this year in the NFL draft with some of the guys that they got picked. I think a big deal is just when kids see development right away with young players that are freshmen, it really just changes your whole dynamic to your team. And then three, the most important thing, the winning. He went out there and won. I mean, he's beat Florida 2 years in a row. He's beat Miami 3 years in a row. He just beat Clemson for the first time in Death Valley on a rivalry game. So I think that's going to be all those things together. When you add that all together, he's just pieced this together. And now I'd say, like, the talent and the productivity on the field is now catching up with all the relationships that really started this, because relationships is always their number one thing. They have a different feel when they're there. You know, Mike tells all these kids and recruits, like, if you don't want to work, don't commit to Florida State, because that's what we're going to do. So he's very direct and honest. So that honest approach in the relationships has really helped solidify kind of the start. And then now the talent is starting to catch up. You know, the product is starting to catch up. And we're seeing that come to fold.
Is there truth to the rumors that Mike Norvell was up for the Alabama job? I have to ask.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. He was a major candidate. In fact, I would say a few days before, like, it all went down, the feeling was that there's a good chance he's gone. Like, there was a real concern from FSU, probably I'd say like 2 or 3 days before it. And then, but my take was always, if they get this contract done and solidify it, the moment it gets done, I think he's going to sign with FSU. Because I think there was the uncertainty of, okay, are they going to get this contract extension done? And then finally, I think it got done. And immediately you see the tweet from the AD with the smoke. And then, later that day, Mike, announces he's saying, cause I think he wanted to be at FSU, but I think there was probably uncertainty of, is this extension going to get done before he interviews with Alabama? And it did, and it worked out. But I also think it's a plus for FSU, because you have a school like Alabama that wants your coach, and your coach decided to stay. So I think it's certainly a selling point you could use in recruiting.
If he would have left and gone to Bama, hypothetically, who would have been the new coach of this team?
Man, that's tough. I think the buzz we had heard was Lane Kiffin would be the number one guy. That's what we were hearing. So I think if that happened, it would probably be Lane Kiffin. And that would be very interesting, because Lane's like the total flip side opposite of Mike as far as just the personality. But, yeah, that would have been the guy I think they pushed for.
I want to ask you about Gerard Verse, who it appears might be, technically he might be the only defensive player taken in the top 10 of round one. That's what it feels like.
Right.
As a prospect, what do you think of him and what he did at Florida State, what could translate to the NFL?
Yeah, he's just, he's a guy that you could use at the, buck linebacker position, defensive end. He just takes over games. I think what I wish I would have seen more is just, the constant every play. But when he takes over, he takes over. But a lot of that, he's getting double teamed. And so I think he's a great prospect. I think he's really good off the edges. I think he's really good as a pass rusher. I think he brings a different edge to himself. He's a very confident guy when he plays. He talks a lot out there on the field. But I think he's a guy that will do really well because of the way he gains his edge off a pass rush, and the way he can, the athleticism he has, where he can drop back in coverage, he could do a lot of different things. He's one of the fastest guys actually on the team. I mean, the guy has some serious wheels, but I think he just all adds a lot of different versatile things you could do with him in the NFL. But he's a great prospect. I think top 15 is kind of where I've seen him nationally or nationwide. Yeah. And I think it's only going to go up as we get closer, because that versatility means a lot to a lot of these NFL teams. So they see a guy can do multiple things, where it's cover or pass rush or drop back and tackles for loss. He kind of fits that mold, and I think it's going to be a popular pick, you know, when that day comes around.
I know you look at mock drafts like me, because I bring that up. I swear it might be four quarterbacks, then three straight wide receivers. Can you believe it? It's like so crazy. It is. All right. Put you on the spot. When is the spring game for Florida State?
Yeah, I think it's don't hold me to this, but I think it's April 21st or April 20th. It's one of those two. That's coming up, and that's going to be an interesting day, because I think this year FSU can probably do like almost a full game if they wanted to, you know, as far as running stuff. So I think they could, you'll see a lot of depth of what they do. I think a guy, I've mentioned, you know, different guys already, but I think the guy that I would say to watch this year is Azari Thomas, defensive back out of Niceville, Florida. Freshman last year, going to be a sophomore. He looks like he's ready to kind of take that next step. Kind of like what I saw from Caitlin DeLoach last year. This is the kind of guy that I think is ready to go. And by the way, it's Saturday, April 20th at 4 p.m.
Do you like that, a Saturday at 4 p.m.?
I do. It's not too early where it's really hot. it's not too late where, you know, it's like, you know, fans have to worry about if they're getting home too late, because there's a lot of fans that are Florida State fans that, you know, some don't live in the city of Tallahassee. Some do, but some, you know, as far as travel, it makes it easier on the fans. So, yeah, I like that time. It's a good frame. And I think people are going to see a different type of FSU, because when you watch DJ throw the ball, there's going to be a little bit difference with that offense, where when things broke down, Jordan goes and does the electric thing, whereas this is going to be more pro style. Now DJ can run, but it's going to be more of a pro set type of, because he, and when he throws, the ball just really pops out of his hand. So I think you're going to see a lot more, you know, throwing, a lot more, I guess, a diversity of getting other playmakers involved. I think Malik Benson is another one I've heard a lot about, wide receiver out of Alabama, transfer from there. So there's going to be a lot of explosiveness, I think, more so than maybe we've seen before, because I think people have watched FSU, and it's kind of, it feels like at times the Jordan Travis show.
Yeah.
you know, where he's just, when things break down, he goes crazy. Where I think DJ's a little bit different of quarterback.
If the Pac-12 was still a conference, would DJ even be the quarterback for Florida State?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just think, I think that's a possibility that he would stay there, because he is from that area. But I think the way it was trending that he was always going to leave. But I think the big thing is, from the start, FSU was the place that he wanted to be. Like, he had several other options, but he saw what FSU did with the development of Jordan, because Jordan wasn't always the Jordan people saw last year. There was a development and maturation process. So I think from the moment that he entered the portal or was thinking about the portal, there's no question FSU was where he wanted to be. So it's a benefit that FSU got fortunate of what happened in the Pac-12. and you're probably right that it maybe wouldn't have happened if everything would have stayed together. But that's what we're going through now, Mark, with the college football. Everything's blowing up. Everything's changing. You have the portal. You have the NIL level of stuff, and it's ever changing. And if you don't change along with it, you're going to get passed. And we even saw that last year with some chinks in the armor of what Clemson does, because Clemson's not a believer in that portal or taking too many portal guys. So if you don't adjust to the times, you know, it can affect your roster and your team and your product.
We'll end with this, with Michael Langston. Yeah, he's going to be speaking here in Melbourne Thursday night for the Brevard Seminole Club. It's a great event. All right, you live up there in Tallahassee. It's about a five-hour drive to Melbourne. What's the experience like in the car?
I mean, it's great. It's just a little bit different because sometimes you go through the, you know, different big cities where, I guess when you're going to Melbourne, a lot of times you're on the turnpike, you're doing different things. But I love the city of Melbourne. Like, I was telling my wife, like, if I retire, if I'm not in Tallahassee, that's seriously a place I would want to live. Now, I'm not saying I would do that. I'm just saying the area is so gorgeous. I love being around the people because they're passionate about what they believe in. And but the trip's good. It's just it's a little long. It's like I attribute it to, like, driving to Tampa. You know, when I go to Tampa, it's kind of like 4 hours. You know, this one's a little bit longer. But I know once you get there, it's gorgeous. But I can say this. When I go to Melbourne, I don't know if this is a consistent thing, but every time I get there, it is, like, really, really windy. Like, really windy. A lot of gusts and stuff like that. But
that's you.
I love the trip. I can't wait. I love seeing everyone. I love I for people that don't know, Mark goes to this thing almost every year I've been there. So I love seeing Mark there, and it's just a phenomenal bit. I cannot brag enough on this Brevard Seminole Club enough. Yeah. The job they do of putting stuff together. It's not just my event either. They have several people where it's FSU or different sports that they do an unbelievable job. The layout, I mean, if you're thinking about going, you're there and you're a Seminole fan or you're just a fan in general, I greatly encourage anybody because this is the best event that you would want to go to. You want food, they got it. Like, it's a phenomenal layout.
Yeah, it's a great event. We'll post it through social media if you want more information. His name is Michael Langston with warchant.com. You got to follow him on Twitter as well. Michael, thank you so much, and good luck with the event coming up Thursday night.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate it.